This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. I'm in my wife's van this morning. It is Friday as opposed to Thursday. That's because I took off another Thursday. But Marvin the Martian Day was today, and we survived it. Whoop, whoop. So I thought it went fine. I'm going to turn up the air just here a little bit. I was up till like 12:30 last night, getting the last pieces finished up. Didn't get everything done, but got enough done to do what we needed to do. So I had breakfast with a friend, made a command decision early morning as I was waking up kind of thinking about things. Okay, we are not putting this on to go into restaurants. There's just, the thing is over 8 feet tall. And there's no way. I mean, if any of you have been to a Walmart going into the garden center, usually they have the big tall doors going into the garden center because there's bigger stuff to move around. I had to duck to get through that door. That's how tall this thing is. So, went to breakfast with a buddy this morning. He always goes over to Walmart and walks. Dave is his name. And so that's actually where I met him. I met him at Walmart. And so he followed me over, and I piled up all the stuff on top of a cart and then wheeled it in and then actually put it on inside the Walmart and then took it off inside the Walmart and then wheeled it back to my car. So I may put it all back on tomorrow morning. We'll see how much rain we have. In the meantime, the thing is, it's 25 pounds, I think. Last time I weighed it, it was 20 pounds and it just got heavier. It may be as much as 30 pounds. So, and it's a bit precarious to get on because to get it on, I have to lift the whole thing up, have my arms straight over my head so that I can slip my head under the back plate and then drop it down onto my shoulders. And I'm wearing a helmet thing that has a kind of a metal fork on the back to where I can stick into some of the existing infrastructure on the back and then turn the ball back and forth to move the eyes. Well, if you get that hung up on something, then you can't get it down to your shoulders. And if it doesn't hook into the machinery the right way in back, then the eyes won't turn. And there's a lot of kind of twitchy things about this, but hey, I am not a mechanical engineer, and I just kind of figured this out on my own. So what do you expect? I was just thinking today, it might be interesting to take some mechanical engineering courses after I retire to kind of learn better about how to build things like this, as opposed to just muddling through. But this was a fun project. So I'll be Marvin the Martian Day tomorrow. We'll celebrate again. But then it's on to pretend you're a time traveler day, which is in December. So I've got some time. And I've started to do some things for that. I went into ChatGPT, Bing. I went into Bing and asked it to create pictures of time travelers with lots of gadgets. Futuristic time travelers with lots of gadgets. So I've got some pictures for that. It'll give me a chance to work with LED screens, and it'll give me a chance to work with LED lights and all that kind of stuff. So, it should be fun. We'll start with probably a basic bodysuit that sort of looks like it's made out of carbon fiber, and then augment it with some, not extreme, but muscles, visible muscles, lean muscles. Sew those into it so that it's got some shape and stuff to it, and then we'll start building pieces, kind of some armor pieces on it. then put all the screens on the outside. You know, we'll come up with something. It'll be fun. So it did go pretty well today. Yesterday I had everything working. But I had to put a little WD-40 on it yesterday, because after I got everything working, then later in the afternoon, I don't know, because of the heat, whatever, expansion joints, I wasn't able to get the anger eyes to lower, or the anger triangle, I should say, to lower. So, in fact, at one point, I tugged on it so hard that it actually came loose from the mooring, so then it wouldn't work at all. So I got in there, got that fixed. And then I sprayed some WD-40 on it, and then it was great. Everything was working, put it in the car, got it out today, tried to pull on one of the strings, and it just wasn't happening. So, but it's such that I can reach up front and grab the little triangle up there and pull it down, and people got a big kick out of that. The retraction string was working, so I can make it angry, and then somebody else would have to come and pull the little string behind me to make it unangry. But that was fun. Everybody seemed to enjoy it, you know. So I put everything on, waddled around Walmart for 20 minutes or so, just doing a walkthrough. Then I got back, pulled everything off, put it back in the car. So I'll just leave it in the car, and then maybe tomorrow morning I'll haul it out, put some WD-40 on it, see if I can get the angry eyes going, and then, you know, then go to breakfast. I won't wear it into breakfast, because it's too much. You can't get through the doors. But then I'll go ahead and haul off to Walmart, and then home, and Marvin the Martian is done, 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 done. So this has been a big project, but it was fun all the way through. Lots of challenges, lots of figuring stuff out, you know, lots of all that kind of stuff. But and at the beginning of it, you know, again, you get about 2 or 3 weeks into it, and you think, wow, it's we really want a wow. But, you know, there's always like a next thing, and then a next thing, and then a next thing, working out the problems. I do have a recommendation, by the way. If you have Netflix, there is a documentary on Netflix called Skywalker's A Love Story. I heartily recommend it. Heartily, heartily recommend it. It's just absolutely amazing. And there's one spot in it where there's unquestionably a whisper. They don't call it that. They don't know, but, you know, they're stuck. They've been planning on doing this big spectacular thing. And, you know, they're hiding out from the guards, and they're doing all this because it's not legal, and blah, 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 blah. And I know some people will say, well, you know, the Bible says you should submit to the authorities. Well, that's true. That's true. But by the same token, you know, I think Jesus is in our adventures. And I think we like to quote that verse a lot, really, for the totalitarians among us that want everybody just to stay in line. You know, so. But it's, the payoff is just, it's spectacular on the end. It really is. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. You know, when you see people who are stretching themselves and who are reaching for the impossible, it's good. I enjoyed it. Anyway, so Marvin the Martian, whoop whoop. I am on chapter 23 of book 21, and so that all seems to be good. I think I know where I'm going. I'm setting up for the ending. Everything is coming together. Got to wrap up a few other little stories, little subplots, and then we go into the, you know, big final chapters on that. I know what's in the epilogue. The epilogue's gonna work. It all falls in line. The epilogue on this one is falling in line with what I have mentioned on the podcast before, that in the midst of all this insanity, in the midst of all the political stuff and all the AI stuff and all the wars and, you know, all the gender identity stuff and all just the haranguing and the woke and the DEI, in the midst of all that, God has his people. And God is moving his people and whispering to them. And he's going to take care of everything. And so, yeah, lots of interesting stuff going on. But by the same token, God will accomplish his will. And he will accomplish his purpose. And he will do it through people like you and I. And he will do it through whispers. So, there you go. It's been another interesting week. Oh, man. So this was the week that Kamala Harris got coronated. It's just, it's so amazing to watch. You know, it's just, there's an old saying, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You know, it's just amazing to watch how we just switch gears so fast. Like, one minute we're saying, Joe, there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden. He is as sharp as ever. You should see him in the committee meetings. He's in command. He's in charge. You know, then as soon as the debate goes bad, we're shocked. We're shocked that they kept this from us. What? 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 You know, and then as soon as that, then we support Kamala Harris. Oh, she is the most brilliant and astute person I have ever met. What? What? Is this the same Kamala Harris that we've watched in speeches about banks in the community, our community banks that serve the community and their banks? I mean, it's just, come on, what in the world? So, the other thing that came up this week, I just heard this yesterday while I was working on Marvin the Martian. I had said that when you just look at the probabilities of the Trump shooting, just the probabilities of the Trump shooting, there are things that just kind of make you tilt your head to the side and go, what? Because everybody agrees it was a colossal security failure. But what's fascinating is that you have a colossal security failure at exactly the same time some kid supposedly gets the idea that he's gonna take a rifle and scramble up on an unguarded roof and take pot shots at Trump. Now, presumably, those didn't just happen to happen at the same time. That's the first assumption that you make. You make a case that the conditions at the rally were not unique. Because if the conditions at the rally are unique, that implies planning. And if that uniqueness spans across multiple domains, i.e., you have to have a security failure, you have to have a young man who's coming to shoot Donald Trump, because if you have a security failure and no one there is malevolent, then it doesn't matter. If you don't have a security failure and someone who comes who is malevolent, it doesn't matter. You know, to get everything to happen like you had to have both of those things at the same time. So the way to explain away what seems to be a ridiculous level of coincidence, one of the ways you explain that away is you say, okay, but you have to realize that 9 out of 10 of the Trump rallies have had colossal security failures in them. And so then, that's not a coincidence. That's just a circumstance. And then once you have this young man who decides he's going to try to shoot Trump, well, there's been enough rhetoric that, okay, well, this is just one of those things that happened. And by God's grace, former President Trump turned his head. Okay. So, the other way you could go about it is you could say, no, there are not usually colossal security failures. However, at pretty much every rally, there's some guy somewhere who's trying to figure out how he can shoot former President Trump. And then again, in that case, it isn't a coincidence that you had a colossal security failure. You just happened to have one. And then you just happened to be at this high probability event that someone was going to try to shoot Trump. All that makes sense. What is more difficult to reconcile is the fact that there has been word that has come out this week that, in fact, Trump's security detail was not the security detail, the normal security detail, that was helping him that day. So apparently there was a lack of resources because there was the RNC that was coming up. Jill Biden was somewhere nearby. And with Trump, then you ended up with three things. The Secret Service didn't have the proper staffing for it. And so then they set some kind of a B team to work on this particular smaller rally. Emphasis on smaller. So now it's not that he had lousy security all the time. He had lousy security at this particular rally. And when we say lousy security, we mean supremely lousy security. Apparently, whatever Secret Service showed up or whatever subcontractor showed up for this didn't even scope the place out for 3 days ahead of time. So they weren't even there until 3 days ahead of time. And on the day of, according to testimony that was given by somebody, on the day of, the Secret Service didn't even show up for the 9 a.m. briefing where everybody was supposed to get their different radio frequencies and go over the plant. Secret Service didn't even show up for that. So it was just the local police, and so they went over their stuff. And so some people have said that means that the local police didn't have the frequencies that the Secret Service was using. There was a guy on that roof. He says, oh, it got really hot and I didn't want to be out there in the heat, and he went downstairs. Okay, you know, there's all these things. So now you have a very unique circumstance, and the only way you can explain it away as not being coincidental is if there are shooters at every Trump rally. And maybe there are. I don't know what that is. There's another factor that's odd, though, that I just heard about. This was all broadcast live. And this was a fairly small rally. And it was broadcast live. Now, what the networks will say is, well, we expected Trump to announce his VP. But the RNC was right around the corner. And maybe Trump said he might announce his VP at this, or maybe somebody just spread the news that he might announce the VP, and so then all these television stations covered it. It's just, there's a lot of weird stuff here. And I don't know that we'll ever know what's going on. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.